That leads to the question, how can we thank God? Or where do we start? Or for what do we want to thank God for? Life on earth, in every country, we teach our children to say thank you. When you go to the store and you get candy, or you get change back, or you go to fast food, or somebody open the door for you, we say what? Thank you. And we need to continue to teach our children to say thank you. Paul wrote it in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. He said this, and a lot of times we don't take it to heart, but he said, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I know what you're saying, Pastor, I can't always thank God. Yes, you can. There are a lot of things that happen out of our control, but God is still sovereign, and he's still working it out for his honor and glory. Amen? Amen. Romans 8:28 said, all things work together for good. It didn't say all things are good, but they're working together for good for them that love God and call according as is perfect. So we need to thank God in everything. I pity the atheist. Now, there's some people in the world that don't believe in God, and I don't know what he's going to think when he get up in the morning and he see the sunshine, or when he get up in the morning and he can breathe, or when he get up in the morning and go to work. But we ought to be grateful that we're not atheists, because there is a God, and he's the one that made it available. Amen? Turn to Romans chapter 12. That's where we'll be bringing our scripture today, from how we ought to thank the Lord for everything that he's done. Jerry preached last Sunday about a metaphor, simile, an allegory. So we're going to use that again today to talk about how we need to be a metaphor for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, he told you a simile was two like things and a metaphor was two opposite things. So whenever you brought an offering to the Lord, it was a lamb for your sins. So we are not a lamb, but we can bring our bodies to the Lord. Amen? Romans chapter 12. When you get there, say amen. Amen. Familiar verses, verse 1 and 2. But this is what we're going to offer thanks today to the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren or sisters, by the mercies of God, this is you now, that you present your what? Bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Get this part. Which is your what? This is not asking for a whole lot. You're going to thank God. Let me help you out. You can present your body to him this morning. You can present your body to him. And then verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You need to transfer your mind, that you may prove what is that what? Good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, when it came to the sacrifice, they couldn't bring in a lamb that had a blemish in it. They couldn't bring in any lamb that had a sickness or anything. So when you think about our bodies are not perfect. A lot of us got ailments and things, but guess what? You can still give it to the Lord. So I want to talk to you today. It's really from that gospel song that if you can use anything, use me. So my body ought to be a living sacrifice. Now, not over in the Middle East, they're killing folks, and they call themselves suicide bombers. That's a dead sacrifice. God don't need a dead person. He need a living sacrifice. So I want to talk to you just for a little while, that if you can use anything, God, use me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for another Lord's Day, a day that you have made. We will be grateful and thankful. Thank you for waking us up this morning. And the atheist can't say that. He woke up this morning, but he don't realize that God woke him up. But thank you for waking us up this morning. I think I heard Sister Russell say some people didn't get up this morning. Some people didn't open their eyes this morning. So I'm thanking you, Lord, in advance. Thank you for our Sunday school lesson that we had today on God smiting the firstborn in Egypt. God had gave them an edict that they need to put blood on the doorpost. And those that were foolish, that did not obey God, God killed the firstborn. But thank you, Lord, that we are in the family that put the blood on our doors. You passed over our lives. So thank you for sparing us. Thank you for our testimony time. Thank you for our song service, our covenant reading. Thank you for our corporate prayer by Jerry. Thank you for all the testimonies. Thank you for recognizing our birthdays, our anniversaries, Lord, our fellowship song. Thank you for the announcements by my wife. Thank you for the offering that Gio took up. And then thank you for the last songs of the praise team. Now, Lord, it's time for the preaching, and I'm not sufficient in myself. So, Lord, I pray that you hide me behind the cross, that you forgive me of my sins, that you speak through me, help me to be a conduit or a vehicle to preach your unadulterated word, and we'll be careful to give you all the honor and the glory. For in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. The atheist says this: how do I know God exists, preacher? You're talking about a God that I can't see. But let me just tell you, you can't see oxygen in this room and you believe in it. There's a lot of things you can't see. You can't see gravity. You don't believe it. Go on the top of a 12th floor and jump off. You'll die. Let me tell you, there's a lot of things you can't see. But the atheist has all the questions. He can't see. I think Sister Russell said this morning, woke up, or Sister Charlotte said, and saw the sunrise. That ought to tell you there's a God somewhere. You see the flowers blooming. Matter of fact, we went from October to 100 degrees to the end of October to 30 degrees. They'll tell you there's a God somewhere, man. See the rain. It rained when we had our trunk or treat. It rained. We weren't able to do all this. So that you ought to know that there's a God somewhere. But the atheist can't see God, for he's looking at all the interruptions. And he can't see it. But let me just tell you, if you're a Christian, you ought to know there's a God somewhere. Amen? Amen. He loves us. He delights in us. He accepts us. The Christian realizes that God dwells in us. The Bible says that if you open the door, I will come in to him and sup with you and he with me. We need to honor and give thanks to the Lord, for he's worthy to be praised. Amen? God honors those who honor him. Peter said it like this: whom have not seen, yet we love. In whom though now we see him not, yet believing, we rejoice in our unspeakable joy. Let me tell you, I've never seen Jesus. I've never seen heaven. I've never seen the streets of gold. I've never seen the pearly gates, but I got news to tell you. But I believe there's a God, amen? And I believe that Jesus Christ exists. And I know he exists because he resurrected in my life, amen? We're going to talk to you today how we ought to thank God for the things that he gave. Number one, you ought to thank God for the saving faith. You know how you got saved? God gave you the faith to be saved. The scripture says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. It is a gift of God. One day in my life, one day in your life, I began to yearn for a holy God. And God took my little bit of faith of a mustard seed and gave me enough faith to be saved. Amen? You ought to thank God for that. Thank God, the first disciple, they saw Jesus in the flesh. I've never seen Jesus in the flesh. Jesus told Thomas, you remember when Thomas was having all that doubt? And Thomas said, I won't believe it. I saw him down Calvary. I won't believe it. And as long as I see the nail prints in his hand and the hole in his side. And Jesus appeared in the room. Y'all know the story. Jesus said, Thomas, let me just put it in Jeter terminology. I heard what you were saying. By the way, Jesus knows what you're saying when you think he don't know what he's saying. He said, won't you come here, Thomas? Put your hand in the nail prints of my hand. Thrust your arm into my side. And Thomas made that statement, my Lord and my God. But then he made this statement. He said, Thomas, you believe because you've seen. But blessed are those who have never seen. And you know who he's talking about? You and me. I've never seen Jesus in the flesh. But he's just as real today as he was back to Thomas. Amen? 1 John talks about how we have seen with our eyes and we have looked upon him and have handled with the word of God. They had to believe in his Messiah. Jesus done a lot of signs and miracles to confirm who he was. We the saints of the day, we don't have, again, Jesus in the flesh. But I have the promises of God. I have the word of God. I have the prophecies of God. So I have enough today to believe. Amen? At one time, Jesus was talking about the Father. And Philip said, you always talk about this Father. Show us the Father, it will suffice us. And Jesus made it. He looked at Philip. He said, have I been so long with you and you don't know me? If you've seen me, what? You've seen the Father. Let me tell you, I've never seen Jesus in my natural eye, but I've seen him in my spiritual eye. The Bible says those that come to worship him will worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. So I need to be grateful. If a man love me, Jesus said, and Father will love him and will come unto him and make his abode with us. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When all y'all came in here to church today, you didn't test these pews. You just sat down. That's telling me you had faith that this pew would hold you. It's the same faith in Jesus Christ. I have to believe that the same Jesus can get me from earth to heaven. I have to believe that he came and died on a cross called Calvary. I have to believe that he was born of a virgin. You know how I believe it? By faith. You say, well, you don't have faith. Yeah, you do. You have faith in your car. When you drive your car and somebody pull off and you put faith on them brakes. And they stop. That means you have faith in them, right? You have faith in the pews you sit down. So just like you put faith in your brakes, just like you put faith in your car. By the way, let me just say this. You have faith in that battery sometimes, but sometimes it don't work. You go out and you're, that means your battery go. But we put faith in a lot of things. Why don't we put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen? The atheist can't see. The birds singing. The rain falling. God loves us. He honors us. Jesus Christ. The first disciples saw Jesus in the flesh. We are on this side, so we don't have what they have. But we do have, Peter said, we have a more sure prophecy. These all point to Jesus Christ. If you look at the Old Testament, we've been talking about Exodus. Everything in Exodus or in Genesis talked about Jesus Christ. The lamb was a picture of Christ. The tabernacle was a picture of Christ. The Ark of the Covenant was a picture of Christ. Everything that Jesus was the high priest, everything in the Old Testament pointed to Christ. I don't know why the Jews have a hard time today accepting Jesus Christ. They say, well, he's not in the Old Testament. Yeah, he is. Every allegory, every metaphor is pointing to Jesus. Everything points to Jesus. Jesus is in the book from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. I just told you about Joshua. There was an angel of the Lord stand there with his sword driven. You know who that was? That was Jesus Christ in his pre-incarnate Christ. Moses at the burning bush. That was a theophany. And then Jesus Christ. God took Moses up in the mountain and talked to him. Jesus Christ has always been there from the beginning to the end. Amen? Amen. So we need to have faith. Peter said it like this. Jesus said, will you also go away? And then he said, who do men say that I am? Some say I'm Elijah. Some say I'm Jeremiah, some of the prophets. He said, but who do you say that I am? A lot of people get on Peter, but Peter stood up and said, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. Peter said, you know what? I've noticed all this and I've heard all this, but I want to tell you today that you are Jesus Christ. There need to be a time in your life by faith that you said to yourself, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen? The woman at the well had a problem. Jesus Christ came and sat on the well. He told the woman to give me some water. She said, you don't even have nothing to draw with. And then he said, if you'd ask me for water, I'd give you a well of water that would spring up in your soul. Y'all remember that? The woman said, how you going to give me some water? You ain't even have nothing to draw with. And then she said, give me that water. And then he asked that question. This is where conviction set up. He said, go get your husband. By the way, when you get right with Jesus, he going to find out where you're real. Now, she could have lied and said, well, you know, I'm married. But she knew she didn't have no husband. She said, I don't have no husband. You know what he said? And those five you had ain't your husband either. And the one you living with ain't your husband. She said, hold on a minute. This man know all about me. By the way, if you didn't know it, God knows everything about you. Yes. God knows where you live. He knows your social security. He knows how much money in your bank. He knows your family members. So don't think you can fool God. He knows everything about you. And the woman said, well, give me that water that I didn't come to draw for. And the Bible says Jesus gave her the water, and she left her bucket and went to the whole city. And this is what she said. Come see a man who told me all about myself. It's not just to Christ. Amen. Let me tell you, it's by faith. God gave her that saving faith. There was another guy at the cross. They call him the centurion. They crucified Jesus on the cross. And while Jesus was dying on the cross, he had his arms stretched out. The thunder began to roll across the sky. And Jesus Christ was getting ready to die. That centurion said, "Truly, truly, this is the Son of God." How did he get it? He got faith. He saw Jesus. There was another thief on the cross that got faith too. All you had to do is ask for it. You got two thieves. Both of them got their foot, you heard it before, on a banana peel and one in the grave. So both of them are near as hell. And they were both condemning Jesus. They were saying, "If you be God and you be Christ, why don't you come down from the cross and save yourself? You did all this talking, you can't even save yourself. You save others." But somehow, one of them began to realize that something was wrong. And he got convicted. Amen? You know what he said? He looked at the other one. He said, "Hold on a minute. We deserve what we're getting. In other words, I know that I'm a thief. I know that I've been crooked. Let me just bring it down to the day terminology. I know I was a hoodlum. I know I was doing wrong. I know I was a prostitute. I did everything bad. But guess what? But this man have done nothing amiss." And he turned to Jesus. This is that saving faith again. God gave him a saving faith. He turned to Jesus and said, "Lord." By the way, you can't call him Lord unless the Holy Spirit is working on you. "Remember me when I come in our kingdom." Y'all remember that? I want you to know that God saved that thief right then on the cross. So we need to thank God for saving faith. You need to thank God for Peter. Peter said, "Thou art the Christ." The woman at the well said, "Come see a man." The centurion said, "Truly, thou art the Son of God." And then Thomas made that great statement, "My Lord and my God." So we need to thank the Lord for the faith that he gives us. Faith is believing and realizing that God fulfilled all the offices, all the duties, all the grace, all the work. We accept Jesus Christ as God's gift, looking to him as the Lamb of God that was slain for the foundation of the world. Number one, you need to thank God for saving faith. Number two, you need to thank God for his love. If the whole Bible was done away with, one verse would stand for John 3:16. It's the whole testament of the Bible. It says, "For God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not what? Perish, but have everlasting." Let me tell you, God loved you. God loved you when you was unlovable. God loved you when you didn't care about him. God loved you when you was going to the clubs at night. God loved you when you was committing fornication. God loved you when you was crooked, when you was no good, when you did your friends wrong, when you did your family wrong, when you was a no good, low down scoundrel. God still loved you. Amen? You want to know why he loved you? Because he loved humanity. He even loved Adam and Eve when Adam messed up in the garden. So the Bible says, "For he first loved us." Amen? The Bible says he's fairest among 10,000. Then he gave us a picture of a husband and a wife. He said, "Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church." Christ loved the church, that he's going to present us as a chaste virgin. Christ, we've been talking about that metaphor. Christ is our husband. We are his bride. He's going to present us to Christ as a perfect chaste virgin. Amen? He loved us so much. Philippians said like this, "He's loving in all things. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report." Think on looking at everything that's good. It's about God's love for you and me. Amen? Redeemed us. He loved us so much he redeemed us with the precious blood of Christ. You couldn't be redeemed with the blood of bulls and goats. God had to have a perfect sacrifice. God loved you so much that he redeemed you with his son's precious blood. God loved you so much that he became your elder brother. I have an elder brother. When we was in Lithonia, I preached on that, how the elder brother, Jesus Christ, is glad to see me coming to the family. Now, the prodigal son, elder brother, wasn't glad to see him. But Jesus Christ is glad that I came home. Amen? I was once lost, but now I'm found. Now, the elder brother should have been glad that his brother came home. I don't know what it is about us that we feel like, well, they've been out partying. I don't want to let him have a... His dad would say, "Son, your brother was lost And now he found. You should have rejoiced. I'm so glad to tell you that when Jesus Christ, when I got saved, there was a joy in heaven. The Bible said there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than over 99 just one. Let me tell you, there was a party in heaven. When one gets saved, the holy angels, they celebrate. You ought to be thankful. God loves us. God loves mankind, and he does everything possible for us to be saved. The Bible said not only does he love us, he's a friend. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:24, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Jesus Christ is a friend. The Bible said, I call you friends. And the Bible say a man will lay down no greater love than no man that a man lay down his life for his friend. Let me tell you, you is enemies to God, but God laid down his life. He died for you and me. Most of y'all that have been in the military, I can tell you that when they put two men in a foxhole, if a bomb come over, a person may take the brunt of the bomb and die for you, but he's still a sinner. Christ died for me, and he was a perfect person. I'm grateful that he died for me. All my sins have been what? Washed away. Washed away. Greater love. Not only does he love me, that he redeemed me. Not only that he loved me, that he's my elder brother. Not only that he loved me, that he's a friend. I can say this because I got a daughter in the back. He's a lawyer. The Bible says, it says that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Oh, I got to give it to you. Jesus Christ is a lawyer. I'm on trial. And the devil is over here saying, he's guilty. He did it all. He's a no good, rotten sinner. But I got an attorney over here named Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, here it is, took his righteousness and put it on me. Are y'all listening to me today? And what Jesus said, no, to the Father. He said he's been declared righteous. He's been declared justified, just like he never sinned. He's my son. And so I have an advocate. I have an attorney. I have a lawyer in his name, Jesus Christ. Just in case you didn't get it, Jesus filled all the orders in the coat. He's the judge with the black robe. He's the lawyer over here defending me. And he's a 12-member jury. I got everybody on my case. So the devil's up in heaven saying, oh, John Judy, he ain't no good. He's just down on earth messing up. But I got an attorney, and I got a 12-court jury, and I got a lawyer. And he said, he's clean. He's justified. Amen? So you ought to be thankful. If you can't thank God for nothing, thank him for his love. Thank him for his justification. Thank him for his salvation. Amen? And then he's a surety. Ephesians says that he's the earnest of our inheritance until the redeemer of the purchased property. I want you to know when you buy a house today or when you buy a car, you have to put down some earnest money. Y'all with me, right? They say, now, we need to know that you're going to take this house because you need to put up some money just in case I put a contract and you bag out, I'll lose some. But if you put the money down, you're going to lose the money. Well, I got news for you. When I got saved, Jesus Christ put up some earnest money for me. So he's going to come back at the rapture because he's already put up some money to bring me home. Amen? So I got an earnest money put on my life. You know, a lot of people have a hitman put on their life, have a price put on their life. I don't have that on my life. My life has already been paid for in full. Jesus Christ has redeemed me. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've been sealed. I'm on my way to heaven. You can't take me to hell if you wanted to because Jesus Christ has paid the price for me. Amen? Number one, you ought to be thankful to God because his saving grace. Number two, you ought to be thankful to God because his love, his saving faith. And the last thing I wanted to share with you why you ought to be thankful to God, you ought to be thankful to God because he gave me joy unspeakable. Now, you know, I say it like this. The world think they got all the gusto and all the joy. You know, they go out and get drunk and then they have a hangover. They go out and party all night and they think they're living up. But I want to tell you, there's nothing like joy of the Holy Ghost. There's nothing like having a good time in the Lord. Amen. Again, Jerry was on me because We was putting up tents and it was raining and we was doing the fall festival and we was painting pumpkins. But let me tell you, it was a joy to me. It was raining, but I was still enjoying the Lord. Let me tell you, there's a joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's the ultimate joy. The disciple was glad when they saw Jesus. The Bible said they rejoiced when he showed them his hand. They were glad that he was. We need to have the joy. Nehemiah said it like this: the joy of the Lord is my strength. We used to sing a song when I was in the other church, and they'd say, if you want joy, you must laugh for it. And then we used to go, oh, ha, 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 because joy. Let me tell you, I never had joy like I got it today. I don't care how bad the world is. I don't care how bad trials and storms in my life. You can't take my joy from me. God gave me that joy to go down in my soul. Amen. And so the joy of the Lord. Well, we used to teach a song to the kids. I got that joy of the Lord. Where? Down in my soul. Where? Down in my soul to stay. Let me tell you, you can't take the joy. Now, you can take happiness from people because, you know, happiness depends on happening. You know, if you're driving down the street and you late and the traffic starts, thank you, you lose your happiness. But you can't take joy. You can't take joy. Joy is something that's down in my heart. Amen. Matthew 34, for Jesus is like the treasure in a field. When a man or woman finds it for joy, he goes and sells everything that he has and buy that field. Let me tell you, when I found Jesus Christ, there was nothing else that could be take his place. I gave everything that I have for this joy. Amen. The woman that lost the lost coin, they said she sweeps her house. And when she finds that lost coin, she rejoiced with her neighbor. She said, for I have found this peace. 2 Corinthians said, but we have this treasure in earthly vessels. And those disciples on the road to Emmaus, y'all know the story on the road to Emmaus, they were sad. And Jesus came alongside of them, and he said, why are you so sad today? They said, you a stranger? Do you know about this Jesus Christ? He was supposed to deliver us, and it had been 3 days. He said, he's going. And Jesus Christ opened the scriptures. And the Bible said he preached the scripture from Genesis to Revelation to the Psalm, and the Bible said their understanding was open, and they said, did not our hearts burn with us? And they had the joy. They went to Jerusalem. They said, we've seen the Lord. Let me tell you, you need to learn how to joy in the Lord. You need to have some joy when it comes to the Lord. You need to worship the Lord. The joy is spiritual, joy of the heart, joy of experiencing. And I'm not just talking about joy that's intellectual. I'm talking about joy that go down into your soul. I'm talking about some real joy. The joy of the Lord. The joy of the gospel. The joy of Christ's glory. The joy of his return. The joy of the first fruit. You remember when he sent those spies down to Canaan? And he said, I need y'all to go down there and spy out the land. Now they came back with a bad report, but they brought back some big old grapes and some pomegranate. Y'all remember that? And it was so big they had to carry them on a log. And he said, I'm going to give you a land that flow with milk and honey. Let me tell you, we need to have joy. I don't have time to preach on the medical field, but I can tell you there's some time when you go to the doctor and the doctor give you bad news, but then God changes and God give you joy. So you know what? I don't see anything wrong with you. You're going to be able to go home today. That's a blessing. And I know Deacon Jennings went through all that, where the doctor kind of be looking bleak, but when God comes around, like my wife said, he's Jehovah Jireh. Provider, he's Jehovah, what's the healer? Rapha, the healer. When God gives you that good news, you can rejoice. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy. You need to have some joy. You need to have joy overflowing. You need to have the joy. You need, when things happen in your life, you need to, the Bible said in Revelation, rejoice, ye heavens and holy apostles, because God has avenged you from the devil. When God deliver you, you need to rejoice. I'm getting a little ahead of my story, but I'm going to go ahead and close with this. When they got over on the other side of the Red Sea, and God told Moses to hold up his rod, and when he held up his rod, the sea closed on the Egyptian army and drowned them. The Bible said that Miriam took a tambourine. Y'all know the story. And began to sing, say, praise the Lord. He's good. He done delivered us. Let me tell you that sometime. Now, I know folks get all caught up in musical instruments and all. Let me just tell you, I don't care what you use, long as you're singing from the heart. Let me tell you, if God did something in your life, you ought to tell about it. Amen? There's a song they used to sing at the old church. I forgot. I think it's a group out of Mississippi used to sing it. And they would say, like, God gave me arms and God gave me hands and God gave me legs. And people say, well, why are you moving your legs? Because God gave me the strength to move on. So guess what? I'm going to shake my leg a little bit because I'm glad. And now, you might have arthritis, or you may have, but when God, I was thinking about when I went to the doctor and got those steroid shots. Y'all know what I'm talking about, steroid shots. And I had all that pain. And then all of a sudden, the next, they say, and that's going to take about 24 to 48 hours. Then I woke up and I start feeling good. You know what I'm talking about? So I can rejoice. Thank you, Lord. For, now people say, well, I don't know why you, I know why. Because I got back aches and I got heartaches and I got pain and I got hip aches and I got foot aches. So whatever God give me, I'm going to rejoice. Amen. Let me just preach a little bit on, you know, I'm getting old now. Every now and then I have to go to the doctor. And sometimes I have to take an eye test. I went to the doctor and they said, well, you're going to have to get some better glasses. I said, Lord have mercy. I got to get glasses. I got to get something for my back. I got to get something for my aches. But one day, I'm going to have a glorified body. One day, I ain't going to have no pain. The Bible says that no pain, no sorrow, no sorrow. Let me tell you, we ought to rejoice. I'm going to rejoice right now because I'm in this fallen nature. But one day, I'm looking forward to his return. And one day when he come back and sit on that cloud and the trumpet of the Lord, blow that trumpet, and the dead in Christ rise first. And then you and me, those that are alive, will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and we all shall be caught up to be with the Lord, and we shall meet him in the air. And the Bible says, and we shall be with the Lord. So comfort ye one another with these words. Amen. So guess what? I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to rejoice that God is doing great things in my life. Oh, you might say, well, you got it all together. I don't have nothing all together. I still got problems in my family. I still got problems in my finance. I still got problems with my health. But guess what? God is still God. And I'm going to rejoice. Let's thank God for saving grace. Let's thank God for his love. He loved you in spite of yourself. And then let's thank God for the joy that he gives. If you don't have joy today, maybe you need to come to know the Lord. Because he will give you joy that passes all understanding. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the day. Thank you for our first Sunday in November, Lord, that we're thinking about Thanksgiving. We're looking forward to moving forward to the end of the month. Well, we, you know, it's a national Thanksgiving Day. But, Lord, we want to thank you for what you're doing now in our life. Thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear. Thank you for our members and all our elements. Thank you, like the old folks say, for a mind regulator, that I'm in my right mind. Thank you that my heart is beating, is palpitating right. Thank you that I don't have to go through any surgery. And Lord, I know that some people may be on medication, may be on blood pressure medication, may be on all kind of things, on diabetes medication. But thank you anyway for everything that you've done in my life. And Lord, we don't want to forget that you're worthy to be praised. And we want to thank you for everything that you've done. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.